this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some really interesting guests on. In the first half, we're going to hear from Marianne Tietelbaum on healing the thyroid, the Ayurvedic perspective. And in the second half, we are going to talk to Dr. Kate Room about intermittent fasting. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Yoga may help people soothe frayed nerves during the coronavirus pandemic, but the ancient practice may also help those with more serious chronic forms of anxiety, new research suggests. The study compared yoga, cognitive behavioral therapy, and stress management for treating people with generalized anxiety disorder. While cognitive behavioral therapy remains the preferred first-line treatment for anxiety, yoga, specifically Kundalini yoga, outperformed stress management education during the initial 12 weeks of the study. When the researchers followed up 6 months later, CBT was the most effective treatment of the three. The effects from yoga and stress education had leveled off after 6 months. The study was published online August the 12th in JAMA Psychiatry. Prior vaccinations and face masks could be part of the reason why the coronavirus affects different people in different ways, according to CNN. Researchers are studying why the coronavirus seems to cause more harm to some people than others. Those who have had a variety of vaccines for flu, hepatitis, and pneumococcus seem to have a lower risk of getting COVID-19. Andrew Badley, an infectious disease specialist at the Mayo Clinic, told CNN a good analogy is to think of your immune system as being a muscle. The more you exercise that muscle, the stronger it'll be when you need it. Although scientists can't say for sure that other vaccines have boosted people's immunity to COVID-19, they think it's possible, the news outlet reported. Diverging from much of the world, Sweden let COVID-19 spread in hopes the population would develop herd immunity. But the risky strategy failed, a new report finds. Rather than imposing a hard lockdown in March, as other countries did, the Scandinavian nation relied on individual responsibility to stop the spread of the deadly coronavirus. This is the idea of folkvett, common sense of the people, and the approach made headlines at the time. Gyms, stores, and restaurants remained open. Schools were open for kids up to age 16, while gatherings of more than 50 people were banned. Authorities predicted that 40% of the people in Stockholm would get the disease and develop protective antibodies by May. The actual prevalence, however, was around 15%, according to the study published August 11th in the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine. Kids suffering from nearsightedness can slow the progression of their myopia by using soft bifocal contact lenses, a new trial shows. Bifocal contacts with a powerful corrective prescription slowed the progression of nearsightedness in youngsters by 43% compared to single-vision contacts, the results showed. Lead researcher Jeffrey Wallin said the higher the reading portion of the contact lens, the better control you get, the more slow the progression. He is an associate dean for research at Ohio State University's College of Optometry in Columbus. The findings were published August 11th in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Thanks, Alan, for the Health First News there. We have Dr. Marianne Tietelbaum now, and thyroid problems seem to be at epidemic rate.
Well, the thyroid is a very delicate little gland. It's the only gland whose hormones affect every cell in the body. But then, conversely, any little thing that's off in the body will affect the thyroid and weaken it. The thyroid is a victim to all these things, and what my book is about is identify the things that are weakening the thyroid, then take the herbs to support it, and the thyroid gland will perk right back up. You don't automatically want to take the thyroid hormone because it only serves to put the thyroid into hibernation because it's no longer called upon to make its hormones.
Mm-hmm. So let's ponder that for a minute. If you go to an allopathic doctor and your thyroid is out of whack, you're going to get something to either suppress the thyroid or you're going to get something to replace the thyroid.
Right. Well, there's basically two types of thyroid patients you'll encounter. One type has full-blown thyroid symptoms such as weight gain, hair loss, depression, constipation, fatigue, history of miscarriages, and yet when they get their blood work drawn, it comes back normal, so they're told nothing's wrong with them, so they leave their doctor's office feeling very frustrated. The second group does have problems show up on blood work, but yet when they're prescribed the thyroid hormone, their symptoms continue because they're not addressing the reasons why the thyroid's weak.
Mm-hmm. And how long do people generally have to be in the land of the unknown where they're seeking and seeking before they find help for their thyroid?
Oh, everyone's different. If people are lucky and they can understand that there's more to it than just taking a pill to give you the hormone, without really rolling up your sleeves and fixing the thyroid gland and addressing all the reasons, that all the things that are weakening it, then they're very fortunate. Otherwise, this could go on for years and years. And I've seen people on the thyroid hormone, and their symptoms are continuing for years.
How does Ayurveda look at it differently? Maybe explain Ayurvedic medicine a little bit, and then how it affects the thyroid.
Well, Ayurveda is a 5,000-year-old tradition of holistic medicine that comes from India. I'm using it because in America, we don't have a tradition of holistic medicine. We're a fairly new country. Even anywhere in the Western world, including Canada, we haven't really discovered all of our herbs yet. So as a result, a lot of the more holistically oriented practitioners are using synthetic vitamins. So we're going from a system of allopathy that uses synthetic pharmaceuticals to just take over and here's the thyroid hormone without fixing anything, to taking these synthetic vitamins, because that's all we know here in the West. Now, enter Ayurveda. They have over 500 herbs to choose from to treat almost any condition you could think of. And the doctors are trained in very advanced pulse diagnosis, where those patients who are told nothing is wrong with them can receive proper treatment, because you can pick up a thyroid gland problem many years before it shows up on blood work. And then we teach the patients other things, like proper diet, daily routine, and cleansing techniques.
Can you talk a little bit, when we're focusing on thyroid, about proper diet and daily rituals that can help bring the body back to balance?
The ancient doctors stated very clearly in their textbooks that going to bed past 10 o'clock p.m. at night would weaken the thyroid and the entire glandular system, because these little glands, the thyroid, the adrenals, the ovaries, they're kind of like the batteries that we run on all day. They need proper rest, but they need the hours before midnight. And they said that humans were made to be awake when the sun is up and asleep when the sun is down. So if we go to bed past 10 p.m., it's a great strain on the glandular system. So you could take all the thyroid herbs or medicine you want, but if you still go to bed late, your thyroid will always be problematic. So that's the daily routine, we call it. And then they do look at the diet. One of the big problems we're seeing, at least here in the States, and I think so in Canada as well, is that many of the young teenagers are following a vegan diet where there's no animal protein, just eating fruits, vegetables, grains, beans, which is healthy, it's not processed. But the ancient doctors of India, who were strict vegetarians, said that first, not everyone needs to be vegetarian, but if you decide you want to be, you have to understand that you need something from an animal in the diet every day. So if you're a vegetarian, you don't want to be killing the animals. That's why you're a vegetarian. So those products, those animal products, would be milk and milk products, like soft curd cheeses. And I'll cover all those in my book. So we're seeing here in the States many patients who are having no animal protein in the diet, and the thyroid hormone is made out of animal protein. So many times they're not giving the thyroid the opportunity and the raw materials to make the hormones. So it's not just a matter of, oh, here, just take the hormones. But you have to see in each case what's causing it.
Mm-hmm. And why would holistic practitioners in the West actually treat it with synthetic vitamin supplements then?
Well, they made the same mistake that allopathy made. The allopathic doctor said, you know, these herbs have these active ingredients in them. Why don't we isolate them out of the herbs and make them synthetically in a much higher dose in a lab? And that's what pharmaceuticals are. They do have an influence. It's not to say they don't work, but they are riddled with side effects and toxicity, which is why a lot of people are bailing out and thinking, well, let me try something more natural. Now, Ayurveda is very keen on the idea that natural means that it grew in nature. So in my book, I have a whole section on what's called prana. Prana is the vibration in nature. The Chinese call it qi, that keeps us alive. It's the vibration from the sun and the moon hitting the food as it grows out in the fields, the water as it flows down the mountain streams, the herbs as they're growing. So all of the Ayurvedic herbs were processed according to strict standards to keep the prana intact, because it's that vibration in the herb that gives the intelligence to ourselves to perform whatever that herb's supposed to be doing. So if the thing was synthetically made in the lab, which synthetic vitamins are, they made the same mistake saying, let's just isolate the active ingredient out of food. We have B-complex and L-tyrosine and amino acids. Let's make those in a lab at a much higher dose that occurs in nature. They're following the same playbook that the mistake modern medicine has made. But again, that's pretty much all we know right now in holistically oriented medicine here in the West. But that was one of the many reasons why I wrote the book, to show people that there are hundreds of herbs out there that they can be using for all kinds of health problems, that are full of prana, full of nature's vibrant healing energy, and not these dead synthetic supplements or drugs out there.
Mm-hmm. With over 500 herbs from Ayurveda, are there like a four or five, top five that you use when it comes to the thyroid balancing?
Yes, and I write about those in the book. We use an herb called ashwagandha that helps to strengthen the thyroid. Another one is called shilajit. It's like a mineral pitch that's scraped off the rocks in the Himalaya Mountains. And then there's others, too, like tulsi, kanchanar. I also list in my book, I think maybe for the first time, all the things that can happen when the thyroid weakens, like miscarriages, heavy menstrual flow, fibroid cysts, insomnia, restless leg syndrome, on and on. And I list all the herbs that we use to treat those things. So it's kind of a unique book where it's not just a basic book about Ayurveda, but it's giving very specific herbs to treat these things.
Marianne, why is there so much prevalence of women with thyroid problems rather than men?
Well, women's physiology is a little more delicately balanced. They have more going on. You know, they have the follicle-stimulating hormone, and then they ovulate, then they have this and that. So it's a much more finely tuned orchestra. But I have to say that we're starting to see also almost epidemic levels of men and children coming in with thyroid problems. It used to be mainly women because of the delicately balanced hormonal system, but it's also spreading into that as well. And you'll see why in my book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a few hints?
Yeah. One of the reasons is that for some reason, we decided to put fluoride in our drinking water, at least here in the States. I'm not sure if they do it in Canada, but fluoride is like a poison to the thyroid. The other thing is we give immunizations here, like flu shots. Again, I don't know if you guys do that up there, but I think you do. And they have mercury as a preservative. And the mercury and the fluoride, when they come into the body, go right to the thyroid gland because the thyroid is the only gland who uses iodine to make its hormones. And iodine looks almost exactly like mercury and fluoride. So when you're ingesting those in the flu shot or the drinking water, it binds to the thyroid receptors and the iodine doesn't have any place to go and it disrupts the thyroid function. That's an issue there, and there's several others I list in the book.
Okay, when we talk about immunizations, is there egg albumin in immunizations as well, or have they removed that?
I think it's still in there. Yeah.
So is that a component of creating problem?
Not like the heavy metals would be.
Okay.
Nothing is more toxic than mercury except for arsenic, and fluoride is. They used to use fluoride in the 1930s if someone had hyperthyroidism because it would tamp down the thyroid, but it worked so well, it killed the thyroid. So they had to stop using it, and as a result, they put it in the drinking water. And many people feel that it's partially, at least, responsible for this huge epidemic of thyroid problems we're seeing. And I would have to agree with that.
Interesting. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.